I take from my text from our gospel lesson, St. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. At that time when Jesus went into the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I want to focus our attention here on this opening verse of our gospel lesson. Again, St. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. Let us set the scene a little bit, shall we? Christ Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And it is the Sabbath day, so all journeying has to cease. And the Lord is invited to the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees to eat bread. The host is a member of the Jewish religious council, the Sanhedrin, and he is also of the very powerful Pharisee party. This means that he is going to be one of the judges of Christ. When Christ is hauled before the Sanhedrin in the pre-dawn hours of Good Friday and charged with blasphemy. Our Lord knows all this. He knows this man will judge him. And yet here he sits at the man's table, playing the gracious guest, and receives his hospitality unfeigned. At the moment, it is in the interest of the chief of the Pharisees to entertain Jesus. For our Lord is at the height of his popularity. He is a figure of public adulation, surrounded by the swelling, singing throngs of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And so this leading man of the Pharisees, this eminence, he wants to be seen in the sight of the people as in the good graces of this Jesus of Nazareth. Just in case. Just in case, because in his heart, as the details of this gospel lesson we've just heard make clear, this host is not in sympathy with Jesus, nor are his other guests. The other guests are his people, that is, the Pharisees' people. For in fact, the plotting to eliminate Jesus of Nazareth from the scene and put him to death, it's well advanced from Jerusalem. And this man who is hosting Jesus would have known this. Indeed, he would have been in on it. Hence, the weight of these words which introduce our gospel lesson. They watched him. These are some of the most chilling words in the gospel. They watched him. They watched him in order to find something to accuse him. Something to accuse him that would be so serious that it would cost Jesus his life. That's the underlying mood in the room behind all of this outward festivity and courtesy. Now, if you've ever been in a situation, you find yourself in a situation where you're being watched closely by people who are not your friends, and you know that they bear you evil will and would harm you, and you can't really defend yourself because of the restraints of convention there in the situation. If you've ever been in a situation at all like that, perhaps you can relate to this scene in the gospel in a very personal way, because you realize that everything you're saying, everything you're doing, everything you're not doing, everything is being watched and judged and reworked and refashioned in such a way that it can and will be used against you. What a disorienting and emotionally upsetting kind of experience this is. And yet, here we see our Lord. He's enduring it. He's going through all the motions of a civil, social meal, without losing his composure. And yet, he sees through them. He sees that their hearts are so hardened against him. We might say that this watching of Christ is the state of mind, the attitude of heart, of anyone who blocks the gospel message from touching his heart, and instead is always focusing on what he can find wrong with the Christian teaching. Something wrong with the church or with individual Christians. Because for the person who watches, all Christianity and every Christian is presumed guilty until proven guiltier. This, to say the least, is a very bad state to be in. If many, many people are in it, perhaps we ourselves were once in it. Now, the opposite of watching, the corrective for watching, may be summarized, I think, in three words: observation, recognition, and imitation. The Pharisee and his ilk, instead of watching Jesus, they should have been observing him, trying to observe him as objectively as they could, especially in this most favorable setting, what's supposed to be a relaxed, convivial setting of a Sabbath day meal. People are at their best. And if they had made any effort just to observe objectively, then their minds would have been open to the new understandings and possibilities of their own religion, as the scene unfolds in the gospel lesson for us. It means to keep the Sabbath without failing to do good on the Sabbath, but it means not to jockey for social position and always be putting yourself forward, exalting yourself. And these observations would have led them to a recognition that Jesus of Nazareth, he was indeed a true man of God. And that for them to be hating him and hating him so implacably, this was to be opposing God. They were opposing God. They had to stop it. And finally, if they had at last come to faith in Jesus, then they would have realized that they were to see him, to behold him, in order to imitate his example. And this is what is urged upon us in our Christian life, isn't it? The imitation of Christ. So then, I say to you, let us resolve not to be watchers of Christ Jesus, but to be imitators of Christ Jesus. If you think at first that some of Christ's teachings, well, they're just not practicable. Oh, come on, this kind of thing is not for the real world. If we're thinking in that way, then we need to strive to learn and to pray in order to be able to shape our lives according to Christ's authentic teachings and according to the ideals of his gospel. For it is only when we are truly humbling ourselves before God in this way that the Lord will compassionate us. He will lift us up. He will say, "Friend, come up higher." And he will lift us up in order to walk in his ways. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.